Confidence Only in Christ. Commentary for the February 7th, 2026 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Decades ago, I knew a child who looked forward to birthdays and Christmases like all other children. He would attend other children's birthday parties, and during the holiday season, he would see piles of presents under brightly shining Christmas trees when he visited his friends' homes. There were presents from parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, cousins, siblings. From Thanksgiving to New Year's Eve, a spirit of joy and family togetherness permeated the festivities. Grandma's special recipe for squash rolls, Mom's rich cheesecakes, breaded and fried gluten steaks, mashed potatoes with gravy, and roast turkey with stuffing. So many delights of the season reminded everyone of the blessings they had received and the gifts of God that had touched their lives all year. But try as he might to rejoice at the bounty his friends and their families enjoyed, he could not deny the differences. The presents under his tree were usually only from Mom and Dad, and since they were struggling financially, it was usually a meager pile. The grandparents on one side struggled with alcoholism, which left little for presents for a grandchild. The grandparents on the other side were religious conservatives, and since they had decided Christmas was a pagan holiday, they would not celebrate it. The grandson did not understand the need to forego gifts to make God happy. It only seemed to him that God was harsh and unloving, especially when he witnessed the love in other families and their tender regard for one another, something that seemed absent in a world of strict rules and an angry God. His parents knew that things were dysfunctional in those extended families and did what little they could afford to, but it could not hide the lack of love for others. Alcoholism and religious extremism had affected not just the grandparents, but the aunts, uncles, and cousins. Never having experienced the love that should have been there, struggled to model it themselves, and remain more prone to wander down the paths of judgmentalism, criticism, and narcissism that were modeled to them. Decades ago, I attended some Alcoholics Anonymous meetings with someone I was close to at the time, and learned something that surprised me. I had always assumed that to be an alcoholic, alcohol had to be involved. But that is not true. A narcissistic personality that constantly seeks out and forms codependent relationships with others but does not drink is referred to as a dry alcoholic. This is why a person who stops drinking can continue to exhibit dysfunctional personality traits even after years of sobriety. It is why families of alcoholics can have similar personality traits without ever drinking a drop. A person who is deeply religious can be a dry alcoholic also, exhibiting all the same personality traits. In practical terms, the same refusal to give gifts or even love by the alcoholic who sees it as threatening their means to purchase alcohol can be manifest in the person addicted to religious extremism who sees a similar threat to the extremism that they feel keeps their faith alive in their relationship to God. Typical to both is that they manipulate and use others and struggle to understand love in the context of interpersonal relationships. This affects their ability to form true friendships, marital unions, and familial harmony. A child growing up in that world will be shaped by it and can feel anger without realizing the source of their anger has little to do with whatever is going on now. It was never meant to be like that. While dysfunctionalities have spread throughout humanity, things were better once. The accounts in the opening chapters of Genesis reveal that to us. we too often miss the message, unable to see the forest for the trees. We argue over whether creation should be considered science, history, or myth. But what if it is really none of those, even though the events seem to fit into one category or another? What if it is more about that child, caught in the maelstrom of turbulent relationships it has no control over, and the storm of emotions and reactions that lie just beneath the surface, waiting to be triggered? Considering how far we have fallen and how people have been hurt by it, what if we can benefit from a second look? The Apostle John tells us that God is love in 1 John 4, verse 8, and Genesis tells us that humanity was made in God's image in Genesis 1, verse 27. What if instead of looking for scientific support for creation or historical verification of Earth's chronology, we looked for love? Given those two supporting verses, it is there, of course. And as a small boy at the beginning of this commentary witnessed, love is often seen as gifts given. We see, for instance, many gifts given at creation. Sea life was given abundant water to dwell in. The birds of the air were given the skies to soar through. And the fauna on land were given meadows for grazing. In fact, there were so many gifts given, it can become challenging to list them all. The bee was gifted the pollen and honey from myriad blossoms. Those same blossoms were gifted the bees to fertilize plant reproduction. All the gifts must have made it a time of joy and celebration. God even gave creation the loving human beings made in his image to benevolently reign over it all. In recognition of that compassionate stewardship, God brought each animal to Adam that he might give them the gift of names, according to Genesis 2, verses 19 and 20. I would have loved to have been there to hear those names and the reason for each one. He even gifted his wife's name to her after she was created. And the Bible even tells us why he chose the name he did in Genesis 2, verse 23. He calls her woman, the one who came out of man, but later calls her life in Hebrew, translated Eve in English in Genesis 3, verse 20, since all of humanity's descendants would spring from her womb. Even after all of that, God still had gifts to give. On the seventh day of creation, God gave one of his greatest gifts. The reason we know it is a gift and not a reward is because it was given right after humanity was created. There had been no opportunity for anyone to earn a reward. The gift he gave was a day memorializing the relationship between God and his creation. It was a day of rest. After the cacophony of all the animals coming forth at God's word, a time of stillness and peace, a time of rest was given, as a reminder that all God had gifted his creation was not because of obligation to do so, but from love. Unfortunately, as our opening illustration revealed, we have fallen far from that standard. We have taken the gifts God has given and made them ugly and onerous. For instance, we have transitioned from the lovely and gracious gift of the Sabbath rest day and made it a heavy burden, warning one another, if we do not observe it to the minutest detail, God will smite us in response, and we may lose all hope of heaven. We have turned the loving God that gave so many gifts from his heartfelt love toward us and turned him into a vengeful, spiteful ogre, eager to inflict pain and suffering at every opportunity when he catches us even in minor infractions. The irony is that since we see ourselves as being in his image, we have taken on the distorted image we created for him and have become ogres ourselves. We so easily become petty spies, seeking to catch out one another that we might drive from fellowship those who do not measure up. For too many of us, our hearts have turned to stone, and we give no more thought to snuffing out a human life than we would to swatting a fly. Letting love die out like we have has left an emptiness in the very pit of our being. We were created to love, and without it we are devoid of purpose, So we seek to create a new purpose, the purpose of subduing and dominating others, manipulating them through fear, and taking all they have to fill the void we feel. But in the end, when life runs its course, the emptiness remains, and all that we have stolen from those we have dominated is little more than sand running through our fingers. Life was never about possessions. It was also never about harshly dominating others. That kind of domination is not driven by love. It is driven by fear of what others might do to us if we do not dominate them to prevent it. Why do we feel this fear? It is because we know what we have become, and because we would do it to them, we believe they would do it to us. Jesus came not only to sacrifice himself on the cross on our behalf, it was also to remind us that everything, the foundation for all creation, the reason for our existence, the reason for Christ's crucifixion, and the very essence of God's nature is summed up in only one word: love. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, as well as hundreds more commentaries and podcasts, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find links to books written by the author, as well as other sermonettes and articles. Once again, that website is www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.